Today's Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. This is the word of the Lord.
During the week, a rumour escaped from number 10 Downing Street that our coins and banknotes were going to be reviewed. Do we really need a £50 note? Because surely, if we're spending that much money, we use electronic plastic or internet banking. So the £50 note will probably go. And what about penny and tuppenny coins? Do we still need them? Well, the question was out there for a day. But within a day, number 10 had decided we were going to keep them. We're very funny about our money. Some of us here will remember farthings, a quarter of an old penny. You'd need 48 farthings to have as much money as a modern 5-pence piece. 48 for a 5-pence piece. And of course, many of us can remember the new half-pence disappearing. We're funny about our money. Benjamin Franklin, a pioneer of the American state, said, "In this world, nothing can be certain except death and taxes." And you'll be very pleased to hear I'm not going to talk about either of them today. We are funny about our money. I often seem to put a picture of a lifeboat on the screen. It's a reminder to me what the local church is like. The boat and its crew is on a mission to save lives. Di-di-di, da-da-da, di-di-di, di-di-di, da-da, di-di-di. What's that mean? SOS, save our souls. You probably know the Royal National Lifeboat Institution is a charity that saves lives. And the government pays not one penny for it out of your taxes. It's kept afloat by the voluntary giving of people like us. This church, CSK, is just the same. It's on a mission to save lives, connecting them to Jesus. It's funded by members' contributions and the goodwill of others, but mainly by our members. In Germany, the Lutheran Church is a state church, and you can only get married in the church there if you pay the state tax as part of your income tax. It's collected by the government and passed on to the churches. But the Church of England isn't like that. We're not a state church. We receive no money from the government, neither national nor local. We're much more like the Lifeboat Institution. And CSK is expected to pay its own way within the Church of England. There's not a Chancellor of the Church of England doling out the money to keep us going. How much do you think it costs to run CSK this year? I'll tell you, it's more than £10,000. So everybody put your hand up now, please. Everybody put your hand up. You think it's more than £10,000. Now put your hands down when I get to what you think it costs. £25,000? £50,000? You've got time to phone a friend if you want to. £100,000? £125,000? Well, it's £135,000. That's a lot of money. That's how much we expect it to cost in 2018. And we're only paying half the cost of our vicar. We don't pay anything at all for Rachel, our curate. But it does include Joy, our children and families leader, Toby, our youth worker, Lorraine, our administrator, and Esther, our cleaner. You can run the church for less. You can be less generous. You can have fewer activities. You can take fewer opportunities. You can reach out less. You can be less like Jesus as a church. But would we really want that? The main picture there is a market stall with abundant fruit on it. But in the bottom left and right hand corners, there's a lack of abundance. I think there are cherries on the left hand side, and there's an apple on a tree on the right. Do we want to be a church which has abundant fruit, or a rather pathetic amount of fruit? If CSK settled for just getting by and saw no fruit for our activity, would you actually bother to come? Would you want to be in such a church? Would you ever have come in the first place? Would you really want to stay? We're funny about our money. CSK is not the church where we say, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Our parable was about a man who said, let's take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Today we're going to talk about two characters that Jesus spoke about. This first man that we've just read about, he was kind of super rich. So it's this way for the super rich. If there are spelling mistakes, it's entirely intentional. And the other person we're going to talk about is someone who was very poor. And I'm going to keep talking about there's a line between the very poor and the super rich. And we're all somewhere on that line. I guess we'll all think ourselves of in the middle or to the right. I doubt if anybody's going to admit to being super rich. We're all somewhere on that line. We've started by talking about a super rich man. Let's look at the red words, the bold words in those verses on the screen. Abundant. This is your chance to join in. What does abundant mean? Plentiful? Lots? More than you need? Okay, let's try another word. What does surplus mean? More than you need. Ooh, leftover. Ooh, yes. I'll have your leftovers, yes. Okay. And what's the other word? Two more words here. Plenty. What does plenty mean? More than enough. That keeps coming up, doesn't it?
Lots of.
Lots of. Okay. What does it mean to take life easy? I can't hear what anybody's saying, but I think it means make little effort. Rest up. So what about this super rich man? God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who'll get what you've prepared for yourself?" We don't know who would have got the contents of the barns, but we just know the super rich man didn't get to keep them. Honestly, that's not a threat, but we are funny about our money. Let's look at another line. There's a line about trusting God. I could perhaps do with a glamorous assistant, Heather. There are better, more suited to the role. Somebody got that joke, didn't they? And the other side. Well, I could do it quicker myself. It's fine. Oh, you can't get the staff. What did that say?
Trusting God.
That really wants to point upwards, doesn't it? We're back with this rich man, aren't we? The rich man in the parable put himself here. He decided to make his own arrangements. He wasn't bothered in investing with God. He made his own arrangements as to his fate. He decided to make his own arrangements. He wasn't trusting in God. He wasn't rich in God, as it said in the parable. This is how it will be with one who stores up things for themselves but are not rich or generous towards God. And the other person we're going to talk about, further on in Luke's gospel, we read, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they offered their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." We're told that Jesus was sitting outside the temple watching people put money in the offering box. Now, I just want to tell you, there's nobody in the church other than me as treasurer and Jan Martin as our gift aid officer who know what you give. Only Jan and I know, and Jan doesn't remember. We don't tell anybody else, no one. So what you put in the offerings bowl or the box on the wall, only I and Jan know. And if you put it in here, I don't know it was you either. I only know if you give it through the bank. Anyway, back to the temple. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they've all offered their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." Now, notice what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, "Widow, you need to be careful. Widow, that's too much, more than I deserve." He didn't say, "Widow, how will you eat tomorrow?" He knows we're funny about our money. Jesus commended the widow. "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. This poor widow's put in more than all of them, for they offered their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had to live on." To offer gifts out of your wealth is to put in money you're not really going to miss. But she gave everything she had to live on. So let's look at another line, my love. There's absolutely everything here. The widow chose to give absolutely everything. And over here, the rich man may well have given a lot, but it was relatively little compared with what he had. And we're all somewhere on that line. We either give a huge amount compared with what we have, or relatively little about what we have. We're all somewhere on that line. I doubt if any of us is really closely absolutely everything. And I don't believe there are any super rich people, but there are those amongst us, lots of us, who give relatively little compared with what we have. We are funny about our money. Now, I'm going to tell you some interesting things about what goes into that bowl and who puts it there, but with all the details removed so that you can't tell who I'm talking about. Unless you're a visitor, I've only been coming to CSK for a short while, I'm going to talk about you. I really am, but I will be gentle. Think with me. What sort of giving does the church need in order to succeed? My first answer is big and regular. Let's deal with a regular first. The best regular way of giving to the church is by standing order from your bank to the church's bank. We want to do things for God's work here in Hampton, and we want to do it without interruption for lack of funds. The work needs funding whether we come every Sunday or not, so it makes sense to give regularly by standing order. Direct from your bank to the church's bank. It's easy to set up. And if you see me after the service, I'll be in the chimes area. I can give you a standing order form to fill in. Now let's deal with the big. These bundles of old £10 notes, which are still valid, if you've got any left over, I'm happy to bank them for you. This applies to old pound coins as well. No one here is giving bundles of £1,000 a month. And I'm not expecting that anytime soon. But it's a picture of the regular giving that we need. Regular giving. Now, here's a table that will fascinate you. It's a table of the regular givers we have. If you add up the number of givers across the middle there, there are 38 households. I thought I'd been censored for a minute. Ranging from between £1 and £24 a month, up to over £300 a month. That's the foundation on which the expenditure of the church is built, from those 38 households. We're all somewhere on the line between absolutely everything and relatively little. The amount you want to give will be somewhere on that line. We each need to look God in the eye and asking how much we should regularly give. There's a line of orthodox teaching from the Bible that suggests 10% of your income. And I know there are people here who work to that teaching. The Church of England has come to a figure of 5% of its recommendation. I've no idea how they came to that figure. If this is all new to you, and it will be new to many of you, I suggest you start with a number that you know is more than you give at the moment and increase it gradually as you become familiar with giving generously. And I believe your anxiety will turn to happiness along the way. Generous giving can be painful until you get used to it. Generally, people who give by standing order don't put anything in the offering bowl week by week, but some do from time to time. Now here's another graphic. £40,000 is given by those households who give by standing order. That's 90% of our income. And £4,000 is given loose through the bowl on a Sunday. It just so happens that if I do the sums, the 38 households normally work out to be half the relatives in the half the adults in the congregation, which means half the congregation, I'm not saying which half, gives 90% of the money, and half the congregation gives 10% of the money. And it doesn't matter where you're sitting, I'm not saying you're in which half, it's just half and half. Okay. So I think probably overall we could improve on that. So one half of the congregation gives 90% of our given income, and the other half gives 10% of our given income. The real key to this is the question, why do we give? Why do we give? We don't give money to the church to pay the church's bills. It's not just to allow God's mission here in Hampton to prosper. It's part of our worship. God gives all that he has to us, and we give a proper proportion back to him through our local church because we love him. That's why there are love hearts in the picture here. It's an expression of our thanks. And we believe it's the right thing to do. When Jesus was talking about giving, he said, when you give. He didn't say, if you give. He said, when you give. And he didn't bother to tell us to make sure we do it because he assumed that we would. And yes, sometimes we want to make things happen and get things done to get our co-workers on board or to improve the sound at the back of the hall, which we did last year. But really, it's a line from giving according to love. You see how contrary she can be. Oh, she's done it already. I didn't notice that. You can do it according to love, or you can give according to need. And I think love trumps it every time. Earlier, I slipped in a sentence, generous giving can be painful until you get used to it. It will involve choices, perhaps spending less on other things that you'd like, or putting less into savings for a rainy day, not that that got the super rich man very far, or choosing to have a smaller holiday or fewer holidays. Generous giving can be painful until you get used to it, painful until you can say, it's what I do because I'm a Christian. It's part of my discipleship. It's part of who I have become. Where we stand on these lines is all a matter of choice. Do we stand between the very poor or the super rich? Do we give that amount? Where are we on the line between trusting completely in God and making alternative arrangements? Not recommended, that one. Do we give absolutely everything or relatively little? We need to assess that. Do we give according to love, surely the best motive, or do we give simply to meet need? We're all somewhere on each of those lines. It would be terrible if anybody here felt bullied or manipulated into giving more to God through the church. This morning, I would be ashamed if I'd done that. But I've got one last line to draw. One last line to draw. Do you give your money to the church, to God through the church, cheerfully? Or do you do it somewhat grudgingly? I think it was Zhu said the other week that God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So how cheerful are you? This is what I'd like to happen now as a result of this talk. I'd like us all to review our giving to God through our church. And you could think of these lines as to see where you might fit. I'd like many of you to become generous givers, perhaps for the first time. I'd like more of us to become regular givers by standing order. And if you want to do that, you can get a standing order from me or from the desk in the chimes area. I'd like everyone to understand that CSK can only function well if people give sacrificially in response to God's love. Each of you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Amen, and thank you for listening.